There's a five-year limitation of service, but it contains a lot of exceptions. If the service requires more than 5 years, then that doesn't apply. So if they have an initial obligation of 6 years, then they're still protected, and they can request to return to their employer. Sometimes you have an employee who gets called up and they're gone. You know, they're gone 7-8 years, and you get the question, can we go ahead and fill the position, or do we have to keep it open? And the answer is, yeah, you can fill the position, but you may have to find an equivalent position if the person returns. And sometimes when you investigate, you find out, well, the person's been back for 3 years. They just never reapplied for employment. And so, there's an obligation on the military member to kind of let the employer know what they're doing. It doesn't apply during war or national emergency. So after September 11th, when most of the orders that people were getting specified that. And so that doesn't count against the five-year limitation. And then service to, if service performed to mitigate economic harm. So, for example, if the employer is not complying, they're not offering reemployment, and then the person takes another set of orders and goes on active duty, then that's not going to count against the five-year limitation. And I always thought that language about suppressing an insurrection, kind of takes on a whole new meaning now. When do they have to reapply? So from 1 to 30 days, it's the next, they just go back to work on the next regularly scheduled business day. It should be 31, but less than 181 days. And I apologize for the howling dogs. There is a fire truck going by. So 31, less than 181 days, then they have to submit the application for reemployment within 14 days. The term application for reemployment doesn't necessarily mean a formal application. It just means they got to tell the employer, hey, I want to come back. Greater than 180 days, then they have to submit the application for reemployment within 90 days. Now, something to keep in mind is that 180 days is, or 181 days, then the employee is going to get a discharge certificate, a DD-214, and that's going to tell you the dates of service, and it's going to characterize the discharge. So honorable, dishonorable, other than honorable, whatever it is. They have to have an honorable discharge. So if you have an employee who's coming back from a long-term deployment, then you need to ask for the DD-214, and you also, before they go, if it's going to be longer than 30 days, you can ask for a copy of their orders. What does it cover? They're entitled to prompt reemployment, protection from discharge, health and insurance, pension plan benefits. So any of the benefits that they would have had by virtue of their continuing employment, they're entitled to get. So if they get a step increase, or they would have gotten a step increase by going over the annual trigger is for that, then they get that pay increase based on the step increase. Things like increased vacation. Some districts offer after 10 years an additional week of vacation. They would get that. Now, do they accrue vacation while they're on active duty? They do not. So it's only those longevity things. It's not things that they accrue by virtue of actually working there. Now, probationary employees, sometimes this comes up where you have a teacher who's on a probationary contract, and then they get called up to active duty, and then they come back. So they can be returned to that probationary status. They don't get a term contract just because they ordinarily would have gotten one at the end of 2 years. Venue is in federal court, and I'm going to run through these things, but federal court is the venue, except in the case of a state employee filing against the state as an employer. In that case, they have to file in state court.